Okay? What kind of results are you seeing in your life? Amen? If you're not praying effectively in those 2 hours, then really you could have probably done it in lesser time. But God is personal, and He has given us the ability to pray. He hears our prayers. And He rewards us for our fellowship. The more you know about God, the greater He can work in your life. Amen? And if you want to increase God's working, you got to increase your knowledge of God. And we have to depend on God. Amen? And, you know, prayer is about a love relationship. God loves you. He wanted a relationship with you so bad. He gave everything. He moved heaven and earth so that He could have a relationship with man. That's what He did. And, you know, prayer can't be replaced by good works. There are times when we just have to set aside things that we are doing, and we have to talk with God. Amen? And we need to let God talk with us. Communicating with God is so important. And, you know, effective prayer is based on the Bible. You've got to learn the Scriptures. You've got to pray the Scriptures. And it's an informed response to the Scriptures and to the grace of God working in our life. So let's get into this tonight about how we can yield to the Holy Spirit and develop an ear to hear. Amen? See, I've got ears. And they're ready to be developed. I receive what God says. And I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to obey quickly. Amen. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. Hallelujah. And we're going to begin with verse 12 here in the book of Romans. And he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." Well, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Well, if I'm not going to live after the flesh, what am I going to live after? He said, "But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," they are what? So it is a quality, it is a characteristic of someone who is a son or a daughter. It includes women. You know, sons and daughters. He just uses the term sons, but it includes daughters. As many as are led by who? Did it say by the opinion of others? Did it say by your feelings? Did it say by your emotions? Did it say by your experience? As many as are led by who? The Spirit of God. What are they? They are what? They are the sons of God. In other words, a son of God or a daughter of God is someone who allows the Holy Spirit, notice, to lead them, to guide them, to direct them. You know, God wants to lead, guide, and direct your life. And He does it through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Therefore, the Holy Spirit has a voice. And it is our job to be able to recognize the voice. Some of you that are married, or some of you that have good friends, how did you become good friends? Or how did you get to the point where you got married? You spent time together, right? And in spending time together, you learned to recognize that person's voice, didn't you? You learned to find out what they liked and what they didn't like. But if they were to call you, you know, after spending some time with a person, if that person calls you on the phone, do you have to ask who it is? Why? Because you've learned to recognize their voice. And see, God's given us, He's given every person a unique voice. Now, there are some people that can impersonate others, right? They can do their voice. They can sound just like another person. But you know what? God's given you a unique voice. Your voice is like your fingerprint. Your voice has to do with your vocal cords. It has to do with your tone. It's the way you communicate, and God has a voice. And it is in prayer. It is in our communication with God where we learn to recognize and to discern His voice. Do you realize that as you pray to God, as you talk with God, you begin to recognize how He speaks to you? And how He speaks to me is going to be different how He speaks to you, because you're not me and I'm not you. God is personal. He knows every person, and He wants to communicate. But we have to learn how to discern His voice. He goes on to say, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." The Holy Spirit will not lead you into bondage. He's into freedom. He's into liberty. Do you realize, you know the difference between a dictator and a leader? A dictator doesn't give you a choice. A dictator says, you got to do this or else. But God, who's a leader, He gives you a choice. Why? Because He operates in love. God gives everybody a choice. He doesn't make you follow Him. He gives you a choice. But He's not the spirit of bondage. He's not going to lead you into fear. There's no fear in the Holy Spirit's DNA. He's all about faith. "But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That word Abba is daddy. We have a spirit of adoption, whereby we've been engrafted into a family. Do you realize that an adopted son or daughter has the same rights as a son or daughter that was born into that family? One who is adopted has been given legal right and legal position to operate in that family. In other words, they didn't have a family, but through adoption, they became part of a family. We've been adopted into God's family. And because we've been adopted, we can call Him daddy. Say, God is my good daddy. And notice verse 16. The Spirit, now King James has this wrong. It calls it an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. It should be Himself, not itself. The Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He comes on the inside of you and He bears witness. In other words, He gives you a signal from heaven that you're His and that you're on track. Amen? It's no different when NASA launches a satellite and that satellite goes into the orbit. The way that they know it's there is that satellite will send back a signal to the base. That way they can know if the satellite is in the right place. And if the signal stops coming, something's wrong with the satellite. But we have a signal called the Holy Spirit. He bears witness. He identifies. He brings us into agreement with the Father. Now notice He said, "And if you are children," well, there's only two ways that you can become a child of God. You can believe on His name, or you can call upon Him, or you can be born again. Amen? You get born again when you call upon God. So you have to make a choice. If you're not a child of God, you can become a child of God. Amen? Isn't that awesome? God lets us choose whether or not we want to be part of His family, because He's already chosen us. And if children, if you're a child of God, then you are an heir. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. I love the fact that we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Did Jesus communicate with the Father? He said, "I only do the things I see my Father do. I only say the things I hear my Father say." Jesus was in constant communication with his Father. And whenever Jesus had to make a big decision, he spent an extended time in prayer. There were times when Jesus got away by himself. There were times when he prayed all night. Jesus was always communicating with the Father. And he knew the Father's voice. Every miracle that he did, he heard and saw his Father do. He was in such union with his Father that Jesus was the perfect representative. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, if Jesus can have that kind of relationship with God, can you and I? Why? Because we're joint heirs with him. A joint heir means we share equally in the inheritance. So what Jesus gets, you get. But you got to be a child. All right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What are we doing? We're learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit in prayer. He's going to be the one that leads, guides, and directs and speaks to you. He's going to be the one that's going to show you where to be, where to live, what to do. It's your communication with God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Say, God's got some things prepared for me. And whether you walk in them or not is up to you. It's like if I were to invite you over to my house and I'm going to tell you I'm going to make you a dinner. Whatever you like, I'm going to make it, and it's going to be good. Now, I can do all the preparation, right? I can set the table. I can cook it just right, just at the right temperature. But if you don't show up, you're going to miss out on the meal, right? The preparation was already made, but you got to get involved in the participation. God does the preparing, but you do the participation, okay? So God has things prepared for you that love him. If you love God, God's got things prepared for you. In other words, they're ready for you, but you got to make a choice to walk in them. But God has revealed them unto us by who? So if you want to know what God has prepared for you, they're going to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So you better get to know the Holy Spirit's voice. You better get to know how he communicates with you. You better discern the voice of God. Now, if you're a picture person, God will give you dreams and visions. If you're a word person, God will give you words. If you're a music person, God will sing to you. If you're into dance, God will dance over you. What am I saying? God knows exactly how to communicate to you. He knows every learning style. God is a master communicator. When God speaks to those that love him, it's not unclear. But to those that don't have a relationship with him, you may not understand it at first. All right? But don't let it go. Keep at it. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is God's research department. And he was at creation. What was he doing? He was hovering over the water and waiting for God to speak. And when God spoke, he brought God's word to pass. Okay? So he searches the deep things of God. For what a man knows, the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received. Notice that tense. When did you receive the Spirit? You received the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You received a different spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the spirit that's in the world. He's different. He has different standards. He has different ways of doing things. Amen? We have received the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Does God give you things that aren't free? We've been given the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us. But if you're going to know what you've been given, you've got to be in communication with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What is the spiritual tool that you have to compare the spiritual with? Exactly. If an angel talks to you and what the angel says doesn't line up with this book, the angel is not of God. If you have a vision of something spectacular and wonderful, if it doesn't line up with this book, it's not from God. God gave you a spiritual tool called His Word to compare spiritual with spiritual. So there's been groups started because some angel appeared to a person. False doctrines, false religions have been started because they don't have the right anchor. Listen, if you're not anchored, you're going to be tossed by the waves of the sea. Right? Okay. Verse 14. But the natural man, what does the natural man receive? Does he receive the things of God? What does it mean to be natural? It means to be carnal. It means to feed your flesh more than your spirit. It means you go by your emotions, you go by your feelings, you go by your experiences. Well, I don't feel like I want to do that. Well, that just tells me what you're going by right there. Listen, feelings change. If you're relying on your feelings for guidance, you're going to be up and down like a roller coaster. You're not going to be steady because feelings change. You got to be led by something that doesn't change. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. In God's kingdom, if you want to prosper, you have to give. That doesn't make sense. Because in the world, that's different. See, in the world, you got to take in order to prosper. But in God's kingdom, it's the opposite. So if you're a natural person, if you're just focused on the flesh and your emotions and your feelings, the things of God are going to seem really strange to you. And you're not going to receive what God wants you to have. Okay? Because the things of God are spiritually discerned. Notice, but he that is spiritual judges all things. In other words, when you hear something, you say, well, is that in the Bible? You know, the song might be good, but you can't quote the song above the Word of God. Some people might say, well, just like the song said. Well, the song might be wrong. It might be a good song, but the message might be wrong. You got to compare spiritual things. You got to judge things. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, I have the mind of Christ. Who is the mind of Christ? It's the Holy Spirit. Do you think God is willing to share his thoughts with you? You know, have you ever heard it said, God works in mysteries, or God works in mysterious ways, right? What does the Bible say about mysteries? To those who love God, the mystery is revealed. So if the mystery is revealed, is it a mystery anymore? So can a Christian say God works in mysterious ways? No, because God unveils the mystery. Therefore, it's no longer a mystery to those who put their faith in him. Can you say amen? You know, you have to have a relationship with God. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And let's look at verse 27. Okay. Jesus is talking here. We're getting in on the last part of the conversation. Well, let's go back up to verse... We got to go back up a little bit here. Let's go to verse 25. He that loves his life is going to what? But he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. In other words, if you're just going after what this world has to offer, you're going to lose. Because this world is coming to an end. This world is not eternal. Because Jesus is going to come back. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? So if you're seeking worldly things, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have things of the world, but it's what you set your heart on. If any man, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him what? If you're going to serve God, you got to follow him. Okay? Part of serving and following God is being able to recognize his voice. It's being able to yield to him. What does it mean to yield? You know, you see those red and white triangle signs that says yield? What does that mean? When you come to a yield sign, what does it mean? Slow down and what? Does it mean to stop if there's nothing coming? It means to give way only if something else is coming. Now, if God wants to do something in your life, and it's different than what you know or what you're used to, you got to stop and give him way. You got to let God have his way, and you got to stop and slow down and let God's way take precedence in your life. That's what it means to yield. Now, the opposite of yield spiritually means to be stiff-necked. Go ahead. Make me do it. When someone is stiff-necked, they're resisting to someone's, they're not giving way. Okay? Someone who's stiff-necked is not open to other ways of doing things. They only can do it their own way, and they're going to be stuck. The group of Israelites, when they got out of Egypt, God called them stiff-necked because they always resisted what God wanted to do. It was either through complaining, murmuring, or grumbling. When something went wrong, they would always complain to Moses. And God told them they were stiff-necked. They refused to yield to God's way. What happened? It cost them. Those who were stiff-necked did not receive the promise. Didn't they? They died in the wilderness. Everyone that was stiff-necked, everyone that wanted to do things their own way and not God's way, listen, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, what does it lead to? Death. But Jesus said, I am the way. If you want to follow the right way, you got to follow Jesus. All right? So let's continue on here. He said, now my soul is troubled, verse 27, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Glorify your name. Then came there a voice from heaven. Say, God's got a voice. saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, God's voice, it can sound like thunder and trumpets, or it can be a still small voice on the inside of you. It depends on how you hear. The closer you are to God, the softer his voice gets. But the further you're away from God, the louder his voice has to be. Why? Because he's got to get your attention. How many know that if I'm standing here and you're out in the parking lot and I want to tell you something, I'm going to have to scream at the top of my voice, aren't I? Otherwise, you're not going to hear what I say. And that's how many people are with God. God's trying to speak to them, but they're so far away that it's hard for them to hear what he's saying. That's why God says, you got to draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. See, you got to find God's voice attractive. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, my sheep know my voice, and another voice they will not follow. And he says, I go before them, and they follow me. You know, there's a lot of voices in this world. Which voice are you following? Which voice speaks the loudest to you? The voice of your flesh? The voice of others? What will people think? What will people think? That's a big voice. The voice of your experience? Well, why are we doing it this way? We haven't done that way for 10 years. We've been doing it this way for 10 years. You mean you can't do it another way? Oh my goodness. Listen, if we haven't done things another way, we'd still be riding horse and buggy. But thank God for innovation. Because some innovations are good because it allows things to do. Aren't you glad for combines? If we still had to pick everything by hand, oh my goodness. But you've got to be open to doing things a new way. And when God's way is coming along, you've got to yield. And you've got to allow God's way to go. And you've got to follow God's way, even if you're uncomfortable. It's about knowing his voice. Now notice verse 30. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now the judgment of this world is... Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Go down to verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Miracles don't produce faith. God's word produces faith. God didn't say for you to live by miracles, although he is a miracle worker. He wants you to live by faith, by trusting him. You know, when you trust God, that means he might lead you into dark areas. Who led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days? The Holy Spirit. Why would you lead me into the wilderness? Because God wants to see what you're made of. He wants to see if you're all talk and no action. He wants to see if you really believe, if you're really a believer. Why did God tell Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son? He just wanted to see what was in Abraham's heart. Remember? Because when he went through with it, he said, now I know I can trust you. See, sometimes following God's voice, he'll take you to places where you don't want to go. But the question is, you got to follow his voice above everything else. You've got to learn to discern his voice. Notice verse 40. Jesus expounds on this. He refers to Isaiah. He said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. And I should heal them." You know, God wants to convert people, but they got to hear the message. If they don't hear the message, he can't do a work in their life. Notice verse 42. This is amazing. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him." That's good, isn't it? They believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. The voice of being put out of the synagogue was greater than the voice of following Jesus. What happened? They missed out. It wasn't because it wasn't offered to them. It was because they didn't choose it. Amen? You know, if you look in Revelation chapters 2 and chapter 3, to every church, he ends with this phrase, "To him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you? We know if you do or if you don't by how you respond. When you hear God talking to you, it requires a response. It requires action. There has to be something that you do with what you hear. James said, don't be hearers only. For if you only hear and you don't do what you're hearing, then you deceive yourself. If you're a Christian and you're not doing what you're hearing, you're being self-deceived. You're doing the devil's job. Don't deceive yourself. You've got to learn to discern his voice. You've got to learn to yield your life to God in prayer. What does that mean? When you're in prayer, when you're talking to God and he says, you know that attitude that you had yesterday? You need to correct that. One who is yielded will say, you know, you're right, Father, I repent, please forgive me. But the one who doesn't want to be corrected, what attitude? What are you talking about? Listen, you're not going to pull the wool over God's eyes. God knows what he's talking about. You can't deceive God. But the question is, proof in how you hear is how you yield to God. Is how you carry out his, is how you let his word change your life. If you're not experiencing change, you're not yielded to God. Because there's no person on this earth that is fully where they're supposed to be. If you were, you'd be like Enoch and God would take you. What was Enoch's testimony? He pleased God. And God took him. In other words, Enoch left this earth without dying. And since you and I are still here, guess what? We better keep on going on, amen? We better learn to discern God's voice, and we better respond, even if it means correction. The only reason correction comes is because something is out of place. The direction that you're going is going to bring harm to you, and God knows it. And he tries to get your attention. But you got to respond to his voice. The Pharisees, they believed, but they didn't confess. Because they were afraid of being kicked out of the church. That's sad. Sometimes when God speaks, some people hear it as thunder, but those who know God hear it as a voice. Look at Moses when he was on the mountain. The people heard thunder, but God heard a voice. God heard a voice giving him commandments. But the people who didn't believe, they were like, what's this noise? See, if you're not a believer, when God tries to talk to you, it's like, what'd you say? If you want to correct that, you got to believe. Amen? You know, at a very low point in Elijah's life, He had just experienced his greatest victory. He, one man, faced 400 false prophets and won by calling down fire from heaven. But then he received a letter from Jezebel saying that she was going to kill him. And she did that before, so she had a reputation. What did he do? He ran. He ran the wrong way. He was listening to discouragement. Discouragement was a greater voice in his life than the voice of God. The voice of God, prior to that, we read, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go to the brook Cherith, and you're going to drink water from the brook, and ravens are going to bring you meat in the morning and meat in the evening. Meat and bread in the morning, meat and bread in the evening. He heard God's voice to go to the wilderness. And there he was sustained. There he was taken care of. But now, when someone says they're going to kill him, he stops listening to God's voice. Because at that moment in his life, another voice became greater in his life. And so he ends up in a cave. Even God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? In other words, you're in the wrong place, pal. He ended up there because he wasn't listening to God. If you're not listening to God, you end up in the cave all by yourself alone and dark and cold. And so, there was an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire. God wasn't in the fire. There was a whirlwind, a tornado, but God wasn't in the tornado. What was God in? A still small voice. Inside Elijah, he was going, Elijah, Elijah, Elijah. See, you can't go by what's happening on the outside. Well, God, if you want me to go to this mission trip, you provide the money. Listen, if you don't know you're supposed to go, whether or not you have the money is not the issue. You either know you're supposed to go and you go, but you don't let the money lead and guide you. Uh-oh. You're kicking over my sacred cow, Pastor. I know. We're having a cow tipping night. Can you give me just a few more minutes? Go to John 18:37. You got to see this. John 18:37. This is a very important scripture. Pilate said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end I was born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, what? Here's my voice. I want you to know something about God's voice. He will always speak in line with his word. God's voice and his word will never disagree with one another. God will never speak something that's not in here. That's powerful. See, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, what we're saying is that you are my guide, you are my director, you are my commander, and when God speaks, you have to hear, but then you have to do what he says. Do you realize that when someone speaks, if the person doesn't hear or understand, the message has not been sent? In order for a message to be sent, there must be a speaker and a receiver. And God is the speaker. We are the receivers. When God speaks to you, that voice takes precedent in your life over every other voice. Amen? In other words, when God speaks, you ought to be able to recognize God's voice in a crowd. And because you would have spent time with God to learn how to recognize that voice. When you communicate with God in prayer, he talks to you. And when you know how he talks to you, you could be in a service like this and you could know when he's speaking to you. There was a time in my life, and I'm finishing up. You know, when I was zealous for God, I didn't have a whole lot of understanding or wisdom. I still don't now, but I'm growing in it. Amen. And I'd be in a service, and the Holy Spirit would be about to move in a certain direction, and I just had this knowing on the inside of me. I knew what was going to happen next. I knew, like, this person was going to prophesy, or the Holy Spirit was going to hit, and the place was going to go nuts. You know, I just had that anticipation and that expectation on the inside of me. Why? Because I had spent time listening to God's voice personally. And when you spent time listening to his voice and hearing his voice, then it becomes more clear in other settings. And if you want to get into the right place in your life, you've got to hear his voice. Because if you don't hear his voice, you will miss his will. If you don't hear his voice, you will miss his blessings. Your blessing, you receiving God's blessing, has everything to do with you connecting with his voice. How many know you've got to be in the right place at the right time to receive what God has for you? In order to do that, it requires you to listen to him and to do what he says. So, I want you to develop a hunger for God's voice. Amen? God loves you. He has good plans for you. And he has good things that he wants you to have. He has things prepared for you. But in order to connect you with what he has for you, it's going to require you hearing his voice. And God has a voice. God speaks. The question is, are you listening? If you heard God speak, then you need to act. Amen? When God calls you to be a Christian, he expects things of you. Doesn't he? And, but, you know, you're here tonight. And maybe you're heavy. Maybe you have a burden. Maybe things just aren't going like you think they should. You know what? God's got answers. And I believe in the power of prayer. And if you're here tonight and you'd like me to pray for you, I would love to pray for you. Amen. I could sit here and talk all night, but you know what? We got to put prayer into practice. God brought you here for a reason tonight. Anytime that you meet with God, it's never by accident. It's always by design. You didn't make an oops when you pulled up the lane tonight. God knew that you were going to be here. I have no clue who's going to be here when. I just do what God says to do. I say what God says to say. Amen? And God does the rest. And so many times people come up to me, you were reading my mail. And I say, well, that's amazing because I'm not even a mailman. But that's how God works. He uses this message. I'm just a vessel that God can speak through. Do I get it all right every time? No, I don't. But you know what? I endeavor to follow God with all my heart. And I know that every time I speak, I ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to the people tonight? And you know what? He lays things on my heart. I didn't sit down one day and say, you know what, I'd like to just do a series on prayer. God put that on my heart because he wants a revival of prayer in his body. He wants people not just to pray, but to pray effectively, to get results, to unleash God's power in this place, in their life. Prayer is when you get a hold of heaven and you bring it down to where you are. And the anointing can do what nothing else can do. Amen. So if you need prayer tonight, I just want to invite you to come up, and I'm going to pray for you. If you have to go, you can go, but I'm going to pray for people, amen? Whoever needs prayer, doesn't matter for what, God's got the answers. Hallelujah. Our God is good. He's mighty. He's powerful. He's awesome. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you thanks and praise. Father, that as you take these words of mine, Lord, which represent you and your word, Father, and you just draw people to you right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I ask that people would just respond to your call, Father, and they would come up and they would receive from you, from your goodness, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was dreaming the holy city. I was where